Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, everybody? This is Stick to Football, Bleacher Report's college football and NFL draft podcast. I'm Matt Miller, and because it's Friday morning, that means my buddy Mello is sitting across from me.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
I'm here for another week.
Good to see you.
Deadass tired because I have like three jobs, but whatever.
Yeah, could be worse. You could have one job like me.
I have no jobs, so
that would be. That would
not
be
worse. Not gonna complain.
Yeah, some people who might have no jobs. We're gonna talk about that when we go around the league. We have a very fun top five for you tonight. This is the first night where we've had the whole crowd back together. We moved offices recently. We're finally all set up. We had to steal some desk, but statute of limitations, we're fine.
I think last so. Week, it's been a week, so
a week, I think we're good. So we're set up. We have the whole crew in here, catered in some barbecue. So a special top five. We're going to do our top five moments from the office because we're breaking in our new office.
And it works.
Listen, we're going to talk football for 45 minutes of this show. Give me 15 that aren't, please.
Yeah, I mean, it's Friday morning. You need a little brain break for your listening ears.
We are going to get into our weekend picks for college football, previews and picks. I pick five games. You pick five games. Hopefully we do better than we did last week.
We sucked a little bit last week. We both went 2-3. The shitty thing about that is I did really well picking your games.
Yeah, I think I did really bad picking all the games. We'll talk about it when it's time. But I got some shit to get off my chest, so we'll get there. And then draft on draft, which is not all dominated by Richard Royal this week, which is nice.
I mean, last week, dude balled out.
He
what are you going to do? You put up good questions.
Yeah.
We're going to put them in here.
It's like we have a quarterback controversy. We're going to play the hot hand. Old Double R was the hot hand last week. So before we jump into around the league, I do want to let people know, 1 week from today, you and I will be on the road somewhere in BFE, Oklahoma, which I think is all of Oklahoma, recording the podcast from a hotel on our way to Mecca, Austin, Texas, for the USC-Texas game. We will be tailgating with the Longhorn Hellraisers, so make sure you pay attention to our Twitter, at NFL Draft Scout, at Mello Esquire, and then at Stick to Football to get details on that.
Yeah, I was going to use a sick day next Friday, so thanks for shouting that out.
Oops.
Yep. Just whatever.
we can edit that. We can take that out.
There's that.
We can take that on post.
It's okay. We will be there.
Maybe you fly down after.
I got some things that I got to rearrange and move around, but we'll figure it out. And I'll be there.
All right. Well, that segment might get cut. All right. I'm going to get a message from Whiskey. Hey, do you really want me to cut that or not?
And no, it's okay, fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
You need to let me know.
I'm fine.
All right. You know who's not fine? Trey Adams, the Washington left tackle. A guy some of us thought maybe be a top 15 pick in the upcoming draft, out with back surgery. This is after only playing seven games last year, then he tore his ACL. Connor and I talked about it a little bit on the Wednesday show, but we have a lot more details now. And he's going to be out for the season is what the reports out of Washington are. Back injury for a left tackle or any offensive lineman is about as bad as it can get.
Especially when there's a good offensive line class this year. Last year, you can get away with having a back injury and probably two torn ACLs. But this year is a little bit different with guys like Jonah Williams in there. Trey Adams needed to come and prove that he can stay healthy, for one, and that he can get it done when he is on the field. And now he's going to miss the whole year. So he's going to have to try to bounce back and recover for the combine.
Yeah. Or maybe gets a medical red shirt and goes back to school for another year. It is going to be interesting. I'm going to plug myself.
You're going to plug yourself on the podcast?
Plug myself.
Should I step out of the room?
So I have an article coming out. As you're listening to this, it's out there in the Bleacher Report app with my updated top 32. Trey Adams doesn't make the list. It is a humble brag. So he's not in there, though.
I think he was kind of on the fence anyway without the injury.
Yeah.
At least for me. I know there was a lot of hype around him, but.
I don't want to make your head bigger than it already is, but.
A lot of innuendos.
David Edwards. That's the dude.
Right? Like yeah. These Wisconsin guys.
He's good.
I've been trying to tell you. I saw
Jonah Williams, but David Edwards is really good as well. LSU linebacker out for the year, and this is sad. I mean, he's a sophomore, I believe, but was a player that they really thought was going to come on as a pass rusher this year and really set the tone for the defense.
Yeah, which one of us is going to try to say his name?
Kalavon Chaisson.
Yep, there you go. You actually nailed it. Tore his ACL. He looked very good in that game against Miami. He looked like
number four. Yeah.
Arden Key all over again, except for maybe a little thicker than what.
And not on a Jolly Rancher and weed diet. So yeah. That's always so good.
I mean, I'm on one, but it wasn't working for Arden Key. I liked what I saw from this linebacker, but it sucks. He tears his ACL. You see it every year. And LSU loses a key piece off of that defense that looked just nasty against Miami.
Man, they looked amazing. I mean, they needed the turnover chain.
They did the turnover towel. Did you see them mocking that on the sideline?
I would too.
Some dude just threw a towel over his shoulder and was like, yep, we're here to fuck shit up.
Devin White looked so good, though, number 40. He was, well, the whole defense did, but Devin White looked very, very good. And I think they're going to be okay.
I mean, you talk about him as an athlete. We knew he was, like, used to play linebacker or whatever, or running back. He's one of the fastest linebackers I've ever seen. I know Malik Jefferson was an uber athlete coming out of high school. He never played that fast. Devin White plays very fast. I don't know what he's going to run, but he plays very fast.
I think he's going to run the 4.4s. And that's what I was going to say with Malik, especially playing middle linebacker, he was always a step slow diagnosing. I think Darren Lee, you could say the same thing, like super fast guy, but just a little slow when it came to actually reading the play. Joe Burrow, had his debut. Wasn't great, but they got the win. I know we talked a lot about quarterbacks on the Wednesday show, but Burrow was someone we brought up last week of we got to see what this guy can do. And it's weird because he completed 45% of his passes for a buck 40, no touchdowns, no turnovers, but LSU just had so much energy offensively and defensively that they really overcame bad quarterback play again.
And that Miami defense is very good. I know that they lost and LSU was able to do some things, but that defense is very good. They're loaded with prospects all over the defensive line, linebackers and secondary. They've got some dudes that can play over there. Coming into the season after you transfer like that, we've said it before. We saw Jared Stidham just suck the first couple games. So Joe Burrow, I don't think he's on Stidham's level, but he's going to struggle.
So this is not on the rundown, but I'm going to go there. So do you give Shea Patterson a pass?
No, because right? I don't like him.
But, I mean, he played like shit. There's no way around it.
He did play terrible.
And let's go ahead and jump ahead, because you had this on the rundown. You wanted to talk about Jim Harbaugh. I mean, we even said it like, hey, this guy, they're telling us this is the best Michigan quarterback that Harbaugh's ever had. Best right. college quarterback he's had outside of Andrew Luck. And not only did Shea Patterson not play well, but holy shit, the game plan was bad.
It's all bad. If you look at their last 18 games at Michigan with Harbaugh, they're 9-9. How do you go 9-9?
When did they hire Jeff Fisher?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's some 9-9 bullshit.
And if you even look at their rivals, Michigan State and Ohio State, he's only 1-3 against those guys.
Wow.
That's and he's not gonna terrible.
If they play like they did against Notre Dame, there's no way they win either of those games this year.
If his name wasn't Jim Harbaugh, he would be gone. If Brady Hoke pulled this shit, he wouldn't have lasted through the season.
He was better than, exactly. had a better record than Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, and worse players. Harbaugh's got some talented players on that defense.
I get asked all the time, like, what if Urban Meyer is out after this year? Where do you think he would go? Michigan would be hilarious. It's just like a middle finger to Ohio State. I'm going to go to Michigan.
I don't think that'll happen, but I also think Harbaugh's already getting maybe some looks from the NFL again. Like, it's not really looking good for you at Michigan. Maybe he goes back to the NFL.
What's weird is it wasn't that long ago that Jim and John Harbaugh were the future of football. They were in a Super Bowl together, and it was there were going to be dynasties. And now John's on the hot seat, too.
Yeah, exactly. So not looking good for brothers this week.
No.
Yikes.
Yeah, we're doing okay. I think we're doing okay. So we were just talking about you might have to fake an injury so we can go to Austin. That means you're a Virginia Tech defensive player, apparently.
Exactly, because the coaches came out from Florida State, and Willie Taggart, he looked awful that debut at Florida State. And then he comes out and says that players were faking injuries. Like, this is not the NBA anymore. Players aren't flopping. They're coached on every team. If you get a cramp, you lay your ass on the dirt.
Yeah.
We're not burning a timeout for you. Just lay down on the dirt. We'll get you looked at. They do it all the time. They've been doing this for years.
Yeah, no, so I don't know why smart. He
calls them out.
That's what you're supposed to do, and there's not a rule against it. You can say that, oh, it's like shit football, or these guys aren't tough, or they're cheating, or whatever. I'm okay with it. There's a rule that says, hey, if you're hurt, you can lay down. Do it.
And I
lay down.
When it first started happening, everybody was against it, but now they've been doing it for at least 3 years. You're just kind of used to it. If a player gets hurt, he stays down.
If a fat Virginia Tech tackle laying down ruined your momentum to a point that you have to blame them for getting a cramp, that's like when you blame the refs, like you coach football. The parents are like, man, those fucking refs. You lost by 28 points.
Exactly.
It wasn't the refs. Yeah.
You know what else is a really big drive killer? When you score a touchdown and then you run a hurry up offense and don't review
it. Oh, my God.
He was clearly in the end zone. Touchdown. For Florida State, and then they run a hurry-up offense for some reason, and they jump off sides. So then the play is over. You can't review it. Shot themselves in the foot. It was ridiculous. It's like watching the old Cleveland Browns.
At least it wasn't as bad as Texas.
Exactly.
I'm still upset. They still haven't approved our credentials either, so maybe we should back off a little bit.
Yeah, so maybe I shouldn't say the fact that they're playing Tulsa even makes me nervous, because Maryland looked bad last week, and now... I just don't know. I'm glad I didn't put them in my top 25. I know that.
They're in my top 15.
Yeah, they're not bad.
We have talked about this before. I am the easiest person in the world to market to. Easiest. I will buy it. Like, it's a blessing that I didn't have QVC for years.
Oh, yeah. Because
I would just be buying shit.
Well, had QVC, maybe just didn't have the money at the time.
Yeah, well, when I had money, I didn't have the channel.
Yep.
I do have it now.
That's a good reminder.
Good reminder. I'm about to buy some shit.
Be like, so maybe for Instagram Live, we just start watching stuff. QVC and buying random shit.
We'll go
shit.
To Brookstone or whatever the store is called, and I'll just buy.
Sharper like Image.
Sharper Image, yes. Love all that stuff. All right, one last thing on Around the League. I'm not going to, so quit asking.
I can't get enough of this Nick Saban meme.
I mean, he's a dick.
He is, but also...
He apologized. I get it.
I will defend him. Nick Saban would talk to anyone like that. I don't care who the fuck they are.
He would talk to Jesus Christ like
that. Yes. If God himself asked about Jalen Hurts.
Hey, who's the starting quarterback next week, coach?
You're like, God, quit asking me literally. This question.
Yeah, that is true. And I'm a Nick Saban homer, so I'm not going to, because I'll just start defending him. And he could have been more gentle, I think, in his answer.
Oh, yeah.
At the same time, I'm sure that Maria Taylor doesn't want him to be. She wants to be treated like a journalist. You know, so it's a whole mess that we're not going to talk about. But the meme is great.
It is. I've been quoting it way too much. So I'm very busy this week as a teacher, coach, and podcaster.
And part-time dad.
And so, yeah, that too. Sometimes when I like them.
Absentee.
I gave a test this week, though. And I did it on a Tuesday, the same day I had a game. So on Wednesday... One of the kids asked me, when are you going to get those tests graded? Kids?
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I'm not going to. So quit asking me. They didn't get it. But that's one of those moments
little
where
girl goes, I'm crying. Her dad comes I laugh school.
In my classroom and they just look at me like I'm an idiot.
I just love that you have one of those kids that she probably cried like if she got a B. You know,
I'm just going to give her the papers and let her grade all of them.
Mr. Miller, you forgot to give us homework today.
Next week when I have to be gone because I'm going to be sick, I'm just going to leave my sub plans and it's just going to say, give this student all the tests she can grade.
Give Christina the lesson plan. She has the book. She'll do the reading.
Yeah.
Okay, we talked about this in the top of the show. I sucked at picking games last week. And I've got people coming at me and I'm not going to run from it. I'm a man. Not 40.
I'm a man. I'm 35.
I can handle it, but I did poorly. 2 for 3 last week, which is the same. I don't know why people are coming at me. Probably because I picked FAU and they got smacked in the face.
They did, but I mean, it happens.
Like,
so at least we own up to it. Like, people always give you shit. Maybe you just read into it more than most people.
You stand up thin skin?
Maybe. But I mean, like, you do own up to it. Like, yeah, I got it wrong. Like, what the fuck do you expect? Do you think Kurt Herbstreit or Lee Corso's getting shit on Twitter because they picked something wrong? They all picked Texas.
Yeah.
Every single fucking one
so
of them.
So did I. So we're going to try this again.
So hit them up on Twitter.
I think what hurt me is I was like, Oregon State's like, plus 39. There's no way. And then Iowa State covered. So shit happens.
I mean, they looked good.
They look good.
I also did poorly on my picks. And I didn't see much of it on Twitter, but I also didn't give a shit. I went 2 and 3 also.
Yeah. So we are going to keep track throughout the year, and the loser will have to do something.
Probably get a Natty Light tramp stamp.
Is that ever going to happen?
Everyone, I don't know.
People keep asking.
I know just they do.
Update the people on what is happening.
Right now, I have zero time to go do it.
there's that.
It will happen.
Yeah.
I'm not avoiding it or dodging it. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I think it'll be hilarious.
I'm getting a tattoo tomorrow. I'm getting a sleeve. And I'm just going to listen to this while I'm doing part of that. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Yep. That's, you just listen to yourself talk while
I critique myself and I laugh at you.
Oh,
usually.
All right. Sometimes I listen back to the podcast, but it's also weird to hear your own voice.
We sound a lot alike. I know that. And it's hard. So sometimes like, who said that? Like, remember when we were kids?
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't tell our baby pictures apart really once you kind of thinned out a little. And I was like, huh.
For the 2 months.
That? Yeah. There's that little bit of time in like the summer of 89 where I don't know if that's me or you.
Right.
Because we're the same size. I'm 4 years older. But let's get into these games, I guess. Let's do this. I'm up first. Mississippi State at K-State. Neither team is ranked right now, but I love that Mississippi State defense and their quarterback, Nick Fitzgerald, comes back from suspension this week. So that should be big. I mean, defense is loaded. They have Jeffrey Simmons up front. They have Montez Sweat on the edge. Jamal Peters at corner. They have Abram at safety. Like, those are four guys who could be top 50 picks on defense. K-State is going to run the triple option. So there you go.
Yeah, their
fullback is going to lead the team in touches.
They've got some local guys at K-State. Alex Barnes out of Pittsburgh, Kansas.
Oh, represent.
But I don't think it's enough.
If you ain't
Mississippi State, you ain't shit.
Yeah. He ain't gonna be shit against Mississippi State.
We don't even want to get into the lion versus gorilla thing. I don't.
We have more people in here. We can make this open ended. The lion would beat a gorilla 1-on-1.
Show of hands if you think a lion would win. And those of you that are listening, also just raise your hands in spirit.
Just raise your hand if you're driving. There are 7 people in the office. How many of you think a lion would beat a gorilla in a fight?
They heard you.
I'm just reiterating. No one has raised their hand. You're all wrong. All wrong.
It's very simple. A gorilla would destroy a lion, and they will in November when we are at the Missouri Southern and Pitt State tailgate.
Anyway, I'm picking Mississippi State over Kansas State.
I am too. I want to see what Fitzgerald can do coming back from his one-game suspension. They looked good without him, and I always kind of go against Bill Snyder.
I don't like him.
Because just one of these years, he's just going to be too old, and they're going to suck. And
I don't know how he's still doing it. Good for him. I won't be alive when I'm his age. How old is Bill Snyder?
I don't know. Dead or alive, Bill Snyder.
Oh, he's...
Maybe it's like one of those Avril Lavigne things, like people think she died a long time ago and then they just replaced her. Maybe when he took his couple years off.
Ooh, it's like that movie Dave. That's a stand-in.
I didn't see that.
It's where the president dies and they find a lookalike.
Yeah, I never saw that movie.
Well, first the president's alive and he's filling in for him while he's having an affair. Then the president dies. So Dave has to become the president, and he's like this puppet president, and then he decides, I don't like your policies, fuck you. So he starts doing his own shit, and then the chief of staff gets mad, and he's like, I'll out you, and he's like, you're going to prison. Guy out.
I mean, I'm all on board. I think we need to do a little more research and really dig into...
No, I've seen the movie. That's what happens.
To Bill Snyder. Like, what's going on there in the little apple?
We need to get Alex Jones on this with two pictures side by side. Like, which one?
Comparing moles from, like, 1995 and 2018.
Get Nancy Grace to do some shit. Real quick, what year do you think Bill Snyder was born?
Oh, God. I don't even know. He's at least 18 years old, so that's 2000. I'm going to say...
It's going to blow your mind.
48.
39.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
he can remember when World War II ended. Like, he was a first grader.
Wow. He saw the tail end of the Depression.
Yeah, he probably started it when he was born.
Jeez.
Wow. So, I'm going to pick Mississippi State. So are you. Moving on.
I am, too.
That was a tangent.
Next game for me, two shitty teams. We have UCLA traveling to Norman to play Oklahoma. And I hate to do it, but I think, obviously, Oklahoma wins this game. However, they're favored by 30 points, and I liked what UCLA did last week with Chip Kelly. I think they can score some points against Oklahoma, but I also thought FAU could, but I'm going to stick with it. OU wins, but they don't cover the spread.
I just want to see what Chip Kelly does. And last week, we didn't watch that game because we don't have Pac-12.
I watched a little bit of it. I rewatched some games, not in great detail, but Wilton Spate got hurt.
Shocker.
Yeah. And the quarterback that they brought in is a freshman, and he's athletic. He looks like more of the old Chip Kelly spread option kind of quarterback.
Yeah, so I don't want to do it, but I picked FAU last week, and it was bad. I do think UCLA will be able to do more to slow down Kyler Murray, and obviously Marquise Brown is not going to evade 8 tacklers on one play.
I would hope not.
A touchdown.
That was ridiculous.
But I'm going to pick OU as well. Next up for me... A game with a lot of ties. And I was at this game last year, Rutgers, Ohio State. Last year it was in New Brunswick. Excuse me. This year it's in Columbus. The Greg Schiano Bowl.
Ooh.
So
look out, folks.
Oh, I don't know what the spread is. Ohio State's going to cover. Let's just.
They will. I think it's going to be very bad. They are
freaking amazing.
Yeah, Haskins is everything that everyone said he
was. Mike Weber went off like 180 last week, and no one's talking about it.
And they you didn't even mention Dobbins because he didn't do anything last week. These backs are just going to rotate in and stay
healthy. Paris Campbell at receiver is going to get hot. And by the way, Nick Bosa, not fair.
Had a game.
Not fair. Had a game, yeah. The spread is 33 points as of now. So, yeah, they're going to cover.
I actually think they will, too.
Yeah.
Make that my official bet. Yeah. Ohio State, and they're going to cover the spread.
For the rest of the year. I'm just going to. Probably. That's my pick.
God, they're going to kill Michigan when we're there.
Haskins might be one and done.
He might be. Kind of like old Mark Sanchez.
Was he one and done?
Yeah.
I was thinking Mitch Trubisky.
That's probably more accurate of a comparison. So good job to you.
Yeah.
But he could be.
Cardale Jones.
Very well could be a one and done guy if he keeps up what he's doing. He was on one of my Heisman watch lists, so I'm with you there. Next game, great SEC matchup. Two top 25 ranked teams. Georgia travels to South Carolina. I think South Carolina sucks.
Really?
Well, no, I don't.
I say. Really?
Strong words. They're overrated. Georgia is a 10-point favorite, and I think they're going to cover the 10 points. I think Fromm's going to get it going. Yeah. Swift will get it going. I don't even think they ran like their offense. They pretty much
against Austin Peay.
They thought that was scout team. Like, that was very
Georgia's scout
look.
Team is better than Austin Peay.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. Justin Fields at quarterback.
Okay, well, that maybe isn't fair. I'm with you. I think Georgia wins this one easily. I do like Jake Bentley, and I like Deebo Samuel, but I don't see any way South Carolina can pull something out of their ass to beat Georgia. Georgia's just too good.
Right, I agree with you. And it doesn't matter that this game is in South Carolina. Fun fact about the stadium, though, that's where the movie The Program was filmed.
No joke.
Yep.
I've always wondered that.
Yeah, well, now you know. Huh. And if I've seen the movie a couple times, if you watch the background, you can still see some of the South Carolina like logos and things.
I'm a nerd. You know this. I know. Everyone in this room knows this. People listening have probably caught on. I always thought it was a Big Ten school.
Well, they play like Georgia Tech also.
But they play Michigan.
And again, if you listen, they also lose to Texas while Joe Kane is out. So they just play all over the map. It's like
Notre Dame.
Who's going to give us the rights to just say their name?
Yeah.
And obviously it's Michigan and Texas and
Georgia Tech. That's a random
Iowa.
One. Yeah.
Ooh, I don't like to talk about that game, though.
Tim Wayman, piece of shit. All right. Colorado at Nebraska. Maybe we'll get to see Scott Frost coach a ball game.
I hope so.
And maybe Nebraska will finally refund those fucking tickets that people bought.
Ooh, are they not?
Did you see that? People bought tickets and Nebraska said, the game was canceled. We will not refund you because most of you paid 3 to 4 times the face value to see Scott Frost. So we are not refunding the cost of those tickets.
What an asshole.
Right? We're not going there this year. So they'll forget that we said this by the time we ask for credentials again. So we're safe. But yeah, not a great move, but I'm going to pick Nebraska. This game would have been cool in like 95.
Oh,
The kick game, right?
That
was Mizzou.
Yeah, that was Mizzou.
What happened against Colorado? Something.
I don't know. They always played each other. Yeah. Oh, Colorado upset them 1 year.
That's
Nebraska. And they ran for like 8
they had
rushing
touchdowns.
Two
big running backs.
Yeah, Purify.
Chris Brown.
And Chris Brown.
Look at us.
Weird knowledge.
Yeah.
But Chris Brown
can't
was
remember
a Fort
my
Scott
kids'
guy.
Birthdays, but I remember that stuff.
Yeah, he was a Fort Scott guy, and he ran for 5 touchdowns, I think, against Nebraska.
They also beat Texas that year, I think.
Maybe. I don't know.
Shocker.
I think that was probably like the major Applewhite era.
I think that I'm not going to go there.
I don't know. Dark days. Next game, speaking of Iowa earlier, Iowa State at Iowa early in the season. I love that they're doing it this early in the season. Finally going to get a look at David Montgomery against an always tough defense. I'm going with Iowa and that huge tight end they have, Fant.
No, Fant. Very good.
I actually like Stanley, too, at quarterback a little bit.
Nate Stanley? Yep. You're going to want to read that article in the morning, buddy.
I think he's probably a year away. I don't think he's a come-out-early guy, but he looked very promising last year.
So, I got to cover myself here. So, Texas beat them October 20th, 41-7. But they played them in the Big 12 championship game, and they beat Texas 39-37.
How'd they pull that off?
That was the Chris Sims game.
Oh.
The one that didn't go very well for our boy.
Yikes. Awkward.
Yeah, oops. Watch Sims and Lefko the show, though. It's Wednesday nights at 7. So you picked Iowa. I'm going to pick Iowa as well. I do want to see what David Montgomery can do, but like, Iowa's just too good.
Way too good. At Iowa is a big difference maker. I know it's not very far
apart. That game could be close, though.
It could be. The spread is...
Because if you drive to a strip club there, you're pretty much in Ames.
Cedar Rapids.
Oh, yep.
That's where we were.
That's what it was.
I think we've had this
talk Tom Herman with
10
us.
Different times. It was Cedar Rapids.
I was not in a position to know where I was in the universe at that moment because the people of Iowa were so great to us. So, Cedar Rapids.
The people were great. Stay out of Cedar Rapids. Yeah, it wasn't worth the drive. Yeah.
The Red Garter or whatever outside of Cedar Rapids. Nothing to write home about. All right, next up for me, Clemson at Texas A&M. Clemson, all the way. Like I said last week, if they lose a game this year, it's a disappointment. Dabo should be suspended if they lose a game. They're fine. They're going to win. And I would like to see more of Trevor Lawrence.
I think we will, too. I think they're going to just kind of edge out Kelly Bryant. And he even played well last week, but
Do you remember the girl you dated before your first wife, your only wife? And like you were still kind of dating, but you were talking to your wife, and you're just like, you just kind of edged her out.
There was some overlap.
Yeah, right. And that's Kelly Bryant and Trevor Lawrence right now. Like, there's some overlap, but you clearly know you want to go with the blonde with the long straight hair. And push the other one out just a little bit. Like, we'll keep you around.
A couple years later, the fans are still going to be like, I wonder what Kelly Bryant's doing.
Yeah.
Like, she,
yeah. If Trevor Lawrence got hurt, they would be like, huh, what's Kelly Bryant doing these days? Yeah. Wonder how he's looking.
Yeah, he's getting the clutch.
Yeah. So you want to keep him around just in case you don't hurt any feelings because you never know what could happen. But Trevor Lawrence is your guy long term.
Yeah, he's the future there.
Yeah, he's the
now. He looked good. I just wish he would cut his hair. That's all I got to get into.
So definitely both picking Clemson.
Definitely both picking Clemson. That's an easy one. Next game, number 15, Michigan State, for some reason, is going to Arizona State. I think they just want to see all the pretty ladies down there. And I think they're also going to win this game. I want to see what they can do on offense because it was very vanilla and bland last week. And I want to see Lewerke. I want to see this dude play.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. Who are you picking, though?
I'm picking Michigan State. I'm just waiting for the wheels to fall off with Herm Edwards. I know it's been one game, but I think it's just going to go to shit.
Too many. I do love N'Keal Harry, Arizona State's receiver. And I want to see from a draft perspective, Michigan State. Always super physical and aggressive in coverage. I want to see what they can do to slow him down because he went off last week.
Yeah, they couldn't tackle him. They couldn't even get within 5 yards of him. We saw that huge play. And somebody did give me some shit on Twitter that N'Keal Harry wasn't one of our Heisman favorites.
You guys know what it means to win the Heisman.
Yes, playing receiver out in the Pac-12, playing late at night. You would have to throw up huge numbers at receiver and be on like a top 10 team.
Yeah.
So I love Harry as a prospect, but he is not a Heisman guy.
I can't even imagine voting for a receiver to win the Heisman anymore.
He'd have to be a dominant special teams player, too, like big returner.
Play some corner, maybe. I'm also going to pick Michigan State. I think that game should be easier for them. Like, they're just so much better coached than Arizona State is. Sorry, Herm. Last one for me, we got an in-state rivalry, Penn State at Pitt. Penn State. Even though they struggled with App State, but here's the thing. Don't schedule App State week one, people.
Yeah,
don't
just
do it.
Learn from the mistakes.
App State was impressive. Zach Thomas, their quarterback, is someone I really want to watch more of over the course of the year. I think Penn State will get back on track. I think they busted out to that big lead and then just it felt like they just kind of gave up. They coasted and then had to win it in overtime. I think they get back on track this week and just beat the shit out of Pitt.
I think so, too. I agree with you completely.
Kind of like Moso will in November.
No chance, son. I think Penn State gets back on track here. They overlooked App State. Even though it is App State, they overlooked them. They shouldn't have week one, but they did. And they still pulled out a win. I think they get their shit together this week, and they will just roll over Pitt.
All right, last one, buddy. And this is probably the game of the week, I would have to say, and it's yours.
Yeah, there's a lot of good prospects in this game. So number 17, USC is going to number 10, Stanford. A lot of good players. Bryce Love has to have a bounce back game.
Holy God.
Because he might be the second best running back on the field. Because USC has a kid by the name of Carr. And they drove him down the field.
Oh, look at that. He's so proud of himself. I wish we were just streaming this. That's a good. I love puns.
but I'm picking Stanford.
Oh, you are?
I am.
Freshman quarterback at Stanford.
Exactly. Young running back. The Stanford defense is going to be a lot to handle. The offensive line is going to be a lot to handle. Being in Palo Alto, I just think Stanford pulls it off.
Well, if someone could go in my closet for me and get the tree and bring it out, I'll put it on my head. I'm also picking Stanford. I don't really have it. There might be. I don't know what's in this office. I'm also going to pick Stanford. I think that defense will be just way too much.
That's a very loud pop.
There's a little more of a can echo in this office. It's the brick wall. It's nice. Yeah, and the new mics. They're good.
Yeah, thanks, it's Whiskey
nice
Dan.
Yeah, it's a great setup. I'm going to pick Stanford, too. I think going there is too much for a true freshman quarterback, and USC's defense is good, but there's a lot of turnover on the D-line. Bryce Love has to be better than he was last week. We had 28 rushing yards. Exactly. So I think we're going to see a 200-yard game from Bryce Love.
Yeah, he's got to go off, and this would be the game for him to do it.
All right, coming back, if you need to lock yourself in your car, your Trans Am, it has to be cherry red. Pump up some Metallica because we're going to go inside and sell some shit. We're going to do our top five moments from The Office. And if you don't know what that is,
then lock yourself in your house and start watching it. Like Friday.
The college games this weekend aren't that good. Take Saturday and watch The Office.
Take a sick day right now. Call into work. I don't know what time you're listening to this. Yeah. Go home.
Get up and leave.
Yep.
Or better yet, stay at work and watch it. It's on Netflix.
If you want to get out of work, here's a little bonus. Just the tip. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this. Pretend you pooped your pants.
Ooh.
I saw a guy do this at work as an adult. Went to the bathroom, went straight to the boss's office afterwards, told her he pooped his pants.
I was going to ask, guy or girl boss.
And he had to go home. And he did. He came back the next day and he was like, yeah, I just told her that I pooped my pants and I got to go home. So say you pooped your pants, start watching The Office. We're going to give you the top five moments to watch for.
That's a top five moment of this podcast is that excuse. All right. Number five for me, The Office is all about the relationships and it's the love triangles. And I think the most endearing relationship on The Office is Michael and Dwight, not Jim and Pam.
No, I agree with
it's
you there.
Michael and Dwight. But Michael is a cheating hoe. And so he falls in love with Ryan. Not if you watch the show, you know what I mean. And Dwight locks himself in his car playing Everybody Hurts. And I loved it because I like pain. And also because that song will get stuck in my head for weeks on end.
Everybody hurts.
Keep going.
Sometimes.
But the rawness of the moment.
You could relate to it. It was such a movie.
I couldn't because that would never happen to me. But
I'm with you, though, on Dwight. I love that dude. You talk about relationships. Arch nemesis on this show, Michael Scott versus Toby.
Flinderson.
Every time. I love it. When he comes back from Costa Rica, it's still a meme. No. God, no. No. Just him freaking out. Or the line that he has about Toby. He's not a part of this family because he works for HR and he's also divorced. So he's not really a part of his family either. He just goes so hard on the hatred for Toby. It almost makes you not like Toby.
I don't like Toby.
He's such a just like sweet, weird guy.
He's also the Scranton Strangler.
Obviously.
Let's just agree on that.
Yeah. Who somehow manages to get himself on the jury.
It's like Inception. That's what it is. All right. Number four for me. I love that, by the way, Michael versus Toby. Number four, there's a moment where, and I think we've all been there, especially as single guys, where you're like, I want food, but I don't want to get out of bed. So what does Michael do? He puts his George Foreman grill by his bed to grill bacon, forgets, steps on it, burns his foot. So that's hilarious because he calls and it's like, it's an emergency. And the best part of this whole
Dwight
has to come pick him up and he's freaking out and he's rushing around and he gets in his car and they're looking out the window and he drives into a fucking light post, like gets out and he's like wobbling around, throws up on the hood of his car, gets back in, reverses, drives away. That's the second best part of the episode. I'm sorry. The best part is Dwight's concussed. Like Dwight has to go to the ER, not Michael. Dwight's concussed. And the doctor's like, looking at Michael's foot, and he's like, oh, it looks a little red and swollen. And Dwight steals his line and goes, that's what she said. Like, it's just like the owning of everything.
Is that the same episode where he starts to get along with Pam? And she's like,
what is wrong with him? Yeah. I think that might be the best episode of all time.
Well, when Dwight's getting his CAT scan and Michael tries to put his foot in the CAT scan, that is a classic episode. Definitely one of my favorites, too. I'm going with a classic matchup. Jim and Dwight and all the things that they get into. One of my favorite ones is when they find weed in the parking lot. So Dwight, being the volunteer sheriff that he is, starts conducting interviews of everyone in the office. And then Jim flips that shit on its head, comes in there and starts interviewing Dwight.
Which is a power move that I would recommend using.
Yeah, and convinces him almost that he is actually the person that was smoking the weed.
The weed. Are you smoking the reefer? I would love for someone to do that in a job interview. Just walk in and actually, I'm going to interview you today.
I heard a story once of a guy that interviewed for a teaching position and he didn't want to answer any questions. He just wanted to show his presentation. Like, he didn't want to talk to the people interviewing him. He was just like, well, I could answer that for you if you let me play my presentation.
See, a special needs teacher.
No, it's, I'm not going to discuss any of it, but he just like deferred. It was like, I'm only here so I don't get fined. He just kept answering things. Was like, well, I could answer that.
If you would watch the slideshow,
the damn presentation that I prepared for this.
Yeah. I have a PowerPoint and I would really like you to watch it.
PowerPoint.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All right. Number three, I can completely relate to this one on multiple levels. There's a moment where Andy comes into the show and Jim wants to fuck with him like he does with everybody. So he hides his cell phone up in the drop ceiling tiles. And every time his phone rings, you get the and it's like so annoying. And he's looking for his phone. And he can't find it. And Andy, being the hothead that he is, punches a hole in the wall.
Excuse me, large tuna. I've seen my cellular device.
When he goes like elbow into the wall too, which is what's so great. It's just like whole arm disappears. And then he has to go to anger management. And he comes back and he's like, oh, it's not Andrew, it's Drew now.
I love it too when he comes back because he's like, they sent me to management training. Right. Anger management.
That's great. Way to spin it.
And then everybody refuses to call him Drew.
I would too. That's a horrible name. If your name were Drew, I would go by Dre.
Really?
Yeah, I would. I would just make
I would not go by Andy. That's for damn sure.
No.
Except for, I feel like the last time we talked about people's names on this podcast, they came at us and was like,
hard. Yeah. Well, my name is
at
Brooks.
Andy says.
Yeah. I think we actually went at Brooks.
We did. And I feel bad for it because he's a very loyal listener.
I love Brooks Gwynn. He's the dude. But yeah, if your name were Andy, I'm sorry. It's not a great name.
Number three moment for me is the Halloween specials that they always come up with. And the one where there's an animal that gets into the office and they have to try to take care of it. So obviously Jim and Dwight are getting into some stuff. Jim claims that he gets bit by the bat and starts showing signs that he is turning into a vampire. Like, can't look at the necklace of somebody because it's a crucifix and it has a glare. The garlic bread is white hot. He starts feeling his teeth. The shit that Jim Halpert does in the office is great. Like, I've tried to pull some of it off. It's just,
did you ever jello anyone's stapler?
No, we used to have a shrink wrap machine though for pictures, and we would take everyone's office supplies off their desk and shrink wrap it.
Oh, yeah,
which wasn't as funny because it's just plastic, but you would have to cut through it.
Yeah, you can eat your way out of it. Like,
the absolute best prank that I ever pulled on somebody while working is there was this dude that works like two spaces down from me named Brad, and you know who he is.
Yeah.
Old Brad Billy. I will call him.
I hope he's listening.
Dude drank like four Pepsis every day. So one day he comes in, he's got his fresh cold Pepsi, he sits it on his desk. He goes to do something else. Well, I took it off his desk and I moved it, put it on my desk. He comes, he looks at his desk, and you could just see that puzzled look like, didn't I just go buy a Pepsi? And then he just shrugs it off. And he goes and he buys another one. So while he's going to the vending machine, I snuck the Pepsi back on his desk. So he comes back. He sees a Pepsi sitting there, sits his other one down, and goes to take the other one back to the fridge so it would stay cold.
Yeah.
While he walks away, I took his other Pepsi. So he comes back to his desk, no Pepsi. So instead of just being like, all right, I get it. You got me. Give me the Pepsi back. He goes and buys a third Pepsi. And during that time, I sneak another Pepsi back onto his desk. So he gets back and he has an Andy moment where he takes this full bottle, unopened Pepsi, and throws it up against the fucking wall. And then that's when I had my Jim Halpert moment. Like, don't tell him. Don't tell him it's me.
I'm typing. Yeah. And
I mean, he definitely knew it was me, and I'm glad I'm still alive because he scared the shit out of me sometimes.
So bat in the office is number three for you.
Yeah.
I was thinking while you were talking about all the pranks you've pulled, and none of them are podcast appropriate.
Probably not. That one was pretty clean.
Yeah. The time you tried to tell all of us you took a inappropriate photo of yourself accidentally and sent it to all your teacher friends.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know, that's kind of risky. Maybe we do Instagram Live and we tell that story. There we
go. Yeah, stick to football. Instagram Live is going to be great. All right, number two for me. Every guy listening to this knows the pressure that you feel to go on a date, especially a blind date. It's tough. Yeah, like, what am I going to wear? What should I do with, you know, hair, everything? Like, it's stressful. Where are we going to go? What do I talk about? Do I get there early? It's just weird. Date Mike, none of those problems. Most confident. So your confident. Backward Kangol hat. You're shitty at pool, but you don't care. And guess what? It worked.
It did.
That's what matters.
I love the fact that he's on this date and he doesn't even know it. So he's like, cool, and everything's going very well for him. And then he finds out that he is on a date. He goes to his fucking trunk and, like, gets out his hat, pops that collar, and then comes back. He's like, hi, date Mike. Nice to meet me. Classic Michael Scott line.
Love it.
That dude
worst is
responsible
character
for the whole show's success.
Worst. I think he's the third best character on the show.
I think behind maybe George Costanza, he's the best character of all time.
I didn't like George Costanza either. If we were going to do top five
how are we friends?
Overrated TV shows, I would put Seinfeld up there.
You've never seen it.
Exactly.
About to lose my temper.
Good. If it were good, I would have watched it.
No, you're so dumb and wrong.
No, it's not good. He's shaking. It's great. I think it's overrated.
You are the only person. This is like your lion versus gorilla take. Maybe worse because it's hands. Seinfeld.
I bet most people in this office, I bet half the people in this office have not seen Seinfeld.
Show of hands for people that have seen Seinfeld.
She's a liar.
That's more than half. So, yeah. Again. And, of course, Dad hasn't. He was born when they didn't have TV.
Yeah. Yeah. He and Bill Snyder went to school together. Yeah. I still think it's overrated, but that's just me.
Moving on.
It could be because of my similarities to Jerry. So, I just don't, like, oh, this isn't that funny. It's just my life.
You should have hated Newman, then, not George.
I didn't make it that long in the show. I
don't see? You watched, like, half of season one.
Yep.
Number two moment on The Office for me is when Meredith gets ran over by Michael.
I think she had it coming. I'll just say that. I think she's the worst character on the whole show. And so they had to, like, find ways to keep her around. It's like, oh, let's have her get run over. Or like, oh, let's have her get flashed in the parking lot. Like, I felt like she was the weak link on the show.
Yeah, probably was. Like, you look at
the episode's funny.
The other characters that, like, Creed, he wasn't on there very much, but his character was so great and creepy.
Right.
Like, him going around selling everything when they thought they were getting shut down is gold.
Yeah, or when he dyes his hair.
The most annoying character is probably Kelly Kapoor.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Which is weird because I actually love her, and she's, like, a great writer for the show. Yeah. I just hated her character. And, you know, she probably, that's what they were going for, like, super annoying, over the top. And she played it very well. But when Meredith gets ran over by Michael, it is hilarious. It's the opening scene. Watch it. It takes like 15 seconds. And it's great to just see her face hit that window. It's almost like when Dwight gets ran over.
That, like, the physical acting is great because you do see, like, cheek smear on the window. Yeah.
And I watched it back this week even. And Michael is, like, looking over his shoulder while driving and hits her. I loved it. I died laughing when I saw it live. On NBC.
Live on NBC. Wow. All right. Number one moment for me. Before they ruined Pam as a human being and as a character on the show, because I would fight anyone who thinks she was actually a good character after season three. She wasn't. But when they decide to prank Dwight and convince him that he is now in the CIA and he ends up on the roof waiting for the helicopter to pick him up. Like, that is... I wanted to work in the reading of Michael Scarn,
I had it on those
are like the two for me that, like, I wanted them to make the list, but I think that was their best prank together, was convincing him he was in the CIA. He's hiding in a box in the warehouse and, like, getting his knife out and, like, poking breathing holes and shit. Like, that's
at the end of the episode after they've convinced him, he's got all of his shit together on the roof. And then they send him a message that's like, you've been compromised. Destroy your phone. And he just fucking throws it off the roof. I love that moment, too. Here's some that I was working with. I just did a little brainstorming. Michael at Dwight's wedding, when he comes back and just pulls the, that's what she said.
Didn't like it.
That was one of the most touching moments I've ever seen.
Seriously?
Like, I think I cried when Michael Scott came back. And he is his best man for Dwight. Like, yeah. Pulls at the heartstrings. I had the table reading of Threat Level Midnight. The basketball game where he thinks Stanley's going to be great and he's not.
He picks
very good one. Michael declaring bankruptcy. You can't just
stand up on a chair and yell, I declare bankruptcy.
I didn't say it. I declared it.
Fun fact.
Another one that I thought hit too close to home for you was when Michael sets up his online dating profile and calls himself Little Kid Lover. But the number
one time I misspoke in an elevator to a child.
And twice.
Three times I've misspoken in the last year.
Hey, is that your sister?
There was the time I was trying to say that my type was petite girls, and I said,
yeah, I like little girls. Yeah.
Not on a watch list.
You got a whole list of them there. Yeah. I forgot about that one.
Yeah. Oh, not me.
Which is very awkward in the number one moment from The Office is the dinner party. When Michael and Jan are just going at each other the whole time.
In a bad way.
Yeah. Jim and Pam get there and Jan is like, oh, let me check on dinner. It will be ready in 3 hours. That's the most awkward episode I've ever seen.
Would you like to smell a candle? What makes it so like relatable is we've also all been to those things where like you go to someone's house and like they start fighting and you're like, yes. What am I supposed to do right now? Like, you show up and they're like just way too comfortable. You know, it's right. Like you're supposed to be on your best behavior. Or they're like, Dwight brings his babysitter who was also his first lover. Like, just so awkward.
Yeah, or you go to somebody's house and they don't have dinner ready. Like you go to a cookout and they haven't even started the charcoal yet.
Yeah. Like it takes 30 minutes to warm up.
Let's go. Yeah. Come on. The flat screen TV is like when he breaks out the, you know, sometimes I'll just stand here and watch this for hours. It's like a 12-inch flat screen that he has.
And then she breaks it.
Right.
And that's what ended
up. Good luck paying me back on your $0 a year salary plus benefits, babe.
I can't wait to use that. It's going to come. I'm going to use that in the future. It's going to come out. We have a lot of great questions, but we want to lead off this week. We teased it last week. Our buddy Ant the Oreo, who's a great listener. I'm getting choked up. That's how much I love can
tell.
Him.
Like you are very passionate about who his favorite team is.
I'm so excited for Ant to pick a team. And we're actually going to let him tell you guys who he picked. Ant's decision. Here it goes. Run it, Whiskey.
What's up, Stickies? It's your boy, Ant the Oreo. Over the past week and a half, I've been fielding offers from many of you as to which college football team I should pledge my allegiance to. After some deliberation, I've made my choice. Virginia Tech, Missouri, and Nebraska were close calls, but I'm proud to announce that I am a Stanford man. Go Cardinal.
All right, there you have it. A new member of the Stanford Cardinal.
It just makes sense for him. He's a Colts fan.
Right.
The Andrew Luck thing, you can just follow him back down. And then he lives in California.
How is he not already a Stanford fan is maybe the bigger question.
Right. So like, I'm all aboard with the Stanford thing for him.
Maybe he just wanted attention.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Just like, oh, let me try to get on the podcast.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Bet you are. Yeah.
No. Whatever.
Ant. Happy for you. Hopefully you guys beat USC this weekend. You can celebrate your first weekend. Let's get to the questions, though. Dog Pound Ireland. All right. There it is. I'm new to college football. I was like, what kind of name is that? I got it now.
Oh, it gets better.
Yeah. I'm new to college football and I'm a Browns fan in Ireland. I thought I could just start supporting Ohio State, but turns out they're not very likable. I like the Browns for their blue collar tryhard mentality. What college team might suit me? If you didn't care about the tryhard, I would say the Texas Longhorns. But there's no tryhard there. Tryhard blue collar. Nebraska?
I'm going to say Virginia Tech.
Ooh, that's a good one. We're going to recommend Virginia Tech. If you're not a college football fan.
Don't they have like a lunch pail thing where
they do.
They used to give it to like a special teams player of the week or something.
Yeah. Iowa.
Wisconsin.
And really anywhere in the Midwest. Any state that voted for Trump and has no economy, pick their football team.
West Virginia?
Right. The coal mines are coming back.
What's that song they like?
Country Roads.
Okay, that's it.
Take me home to the place, Mello, that I belong.
West Virginia.
Mountain Mama. It's a good fucking song. I do like picking Virginia Tech.
That's after watching them kick the shit out of Florida State. I think they have a pretty good team.
Just YouTube search their intro at night when Inner Sandman comes on and that stadium's rocking,
and they
literally
start jumping and the stadium shakes.
And they have, I do love the ROTC part of it.
I like their uniforms too. Like for being a very weird, like, yeah. I guess that's maroon. I don't know why I'm talking to you about it.
Green.
Are you shitting me?
No.
Okay. It's some kind of maroon and orange. So there you have
green
that.
Green and orange never made sense to me.
So weird. But I'm going with Virginia Tech.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
For a lot of different reasons. One of them not being their green uniforms.
Yeah. All right. Next question. Go for it.
Michael Steiner, who's also trying to depress me. Just the tip is gone, but I have a question for you. My buddies and our wives want to make a trip to Nashville next year. It's the first time visiting Nashville. What time of year should we go and what area should we stay in? Thanks for keeping up the great work on the podcast. So happy it's going 3 days a week, which it is it starting is. This week. On Monday, you can catch me, Matt, and Connor all on the podcast.
Also, Tuesday night, Connor and TR are going to do happy hour on Instagram Live. Thursday nights, we are going to do. So that's 5 days a week of Stick to Football content. I'm very excited. Our buddy Michael Steiner is right. Nashville is a great place to go. I think the best time of year is spring because Nashville is in the South. It does get hot. I've been there in the summer. Don't love it. I would say the spring or fall if you want to go watch a Titans game. But March is when we've always done our trip there.
I think it's a good time.
Yeah. It can get a little chilly, but I prefer that over being hot, especially because what you're going to do is go into these honky tonks and they're going to be packed and there's going to be people dancing and drinking and you don't want to do that when it's 98 degrees outside. You want to do that when it's 50 degrees outside.
Yeah, and I'm all with you there. In the springtime, you also run into spring break.
And?
St. Patty's Day, March Madness.
And bachelorette parties.
It's
really heaven.
It really is. That time of year.
If there were a Field of Dreams for frat boys, it would be in Nashville.
We will be there from what? Like March 11th through 16th?
I'm not going to advertise that. I actually don't know.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah. We're not going.
We may not be there around March 11th.
We killed
through
Dan
16th.
There last year, so we're going to just audible. We're just going
to
go somewhere else.
I mean, he made it back to Missouri.
That's
but
true. Where should they stay? We have stayed in a lot of different places. My favorite part of Nashville to stay in is called the Gulch. It's kind of more upscale, like hotels and boutique places. The food is really, really good in that area. Check out Burger Republic if you're down there. We've also stayed out by Opryland. So if you're into like the malls and that thing, the problem
I wouldn't recommend it.
The Uber ride in is like 30 minutes every night.
And the Uber ride back is like an hour.
And you send crazy inappropriate Instagram messages. So don't do that. I would say try to spend a little bit more in either staying East Nashville, which is kind of an up and coming neighborhood, or the Gulch.
Where was the Waffle House shooting at?
I don't know.
But I would avoid that area.
That area too. Yeah.
Okay.
I think East Nashville and the Gulch are both.
And can we just get this out of the way? Because people always ask us, like, what to do. We have a thing.
We have a script.
And we mention it all the time. But if you are going to Nashville, you start your night at Merchants. You get the Long Island iced teas and eat the free popcorn. Long Island's are not free. But they're good.
They mention Mello. Put it on the house tab for Mello.
And they're just going to start making like 18 of them. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah, they're back.
We're going to have a night.
Well, we've shut that place down a couple times. You're right, though. Go to Merchants, eat the popcorn, get the Long Islands, stumble next door, which it is directly next door, by the way. Go to Nudie's. It's a great spot. Three levels of live music. There's a rooftop with a beautiful view of the city. The only thing is you can't take beer bottles up there. We learned that last year.
Yeah. Which makes sense. I bet every bar is like that.
Yeah. I would say avoid the, and I love these guys, but like avoid the like Dierks Bentley's bar, Whiskey Row.
Well, it's just so crowded.
They're so crowded because those names are a draw. Luke Bryan has one now. Florida Georgia Line has one. Kid Rock has one. Go to the places that have been there for 80 years.
I mean, if you want a good artist to follow around, find a little gal by the name of Kaylee Green because she's one of our favorites.
Just don't try talking to her.
Yeah,
all righty.
Freeze up.
All righty. Patrick Chamberlain wants to know, what was more disappointing in the first week of college football? Michigan, Miami, or Florida State? None of those. None of them. Texas.
I don't know.
My little heart was broken.
Mine wasn't. I kind of saw it coming again. I know I picked Texas, I was not shocked when they lost. I think the Michigan defeat,
I talked a lot of shit about Notre Dame, so that one hurt.
Yeah, I really didn't think Notre Dame was going to be good. And their quarterback still played like shit, and they found a way to beat Michigan. So yeah. I'm going with Michigan was the most disappointing thing.
Miami surprised me, but we had said we thought they were ranked way too high at 8. Florida State, That was in 19-20 games. That's not a huge surprise.
Right. And Virginia Tech playing like they did. That's just that's what they do.
In Tallahassee was a little bit of a surprise, but
yeah. But also they're like new coach this year, so yeah. There's a lot of turnover and things going on. So I'm going with Michigan. Like they are supposed to have their best quarterback ever since Tom Brady.
Who wasn't even that good in college.
It wasn't. And
their best quarterback since Jim Harbaugh.
They didn't look good at all, offensively or defensively.
Chad Henne was pretty good in college. I guess he'd be best since Chad Henne.
Yeah, I'm good with
that. If you let him wear number two, he should be better than he was.
If you let him wear number two, he went better win the Heisman.
Yeah.
And he's not looking like he's going to do that.
Next question.
Next question. Reddit user, so what are you going to do there? Titties are fun. That's their name.
No, we didn't make this
up. I didn't come up with this, but I'm going to read the name.
Fact check it. And his question's a good one, so we had to get yes. to it.
Which pair of brothers
will... Butch pair.
Which pair of brothers will have a better career? The Watt brothers or the Bosa brothers?
I'm going to take the Miller brothers.
Obviously.
We're going to probably have a longer career, but it's definitely the Bosas.
Definitely.
It's not even close.
I would already take Joey.
Yep.
Older brother?
Yep.
Over JJ.
Ooh. Oh, for this year?
For any year.
Ooh.
Going forward.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. Yep.
Yeah, as a prospect, he was great, and he did some wonderful things early on, but I think Joey Bosa will be better than JJ Watt, and Nick Bosa might be one of the best pass rushers we've ever seen.
Yeah. No, this is easy. TJ Watt is okay.
He's very talented. I like him. I love that he's in Pittsburgh. Yeah. He fits their defense, and he's going to do some things. But what the Bosa brothers are doing and what they're capable of
They're both going to be top three picks as well.
I think they're going to probably be more successful at their positions than the Manning brothers.
Ooh.
I know Eli's won two Super Bowls, but
did he really, though?
Right.
I don't know. David
Peyton's great. The Bosa brothers look special.
Yeah, and their dad still looks like he could play.
Yeah, he could probably have 10 sacks in the NFL. Man.
Right, good. With these rules. All right, Travis Johnson wants to know, and this one came in, I think, on Twitter. After the Khalil Mack trade, are the Raiders bad enough to be in the running for Nick Bosa at number one? I wanted to get that in because of the Nick Bosa stuff. Also, what are the odds that they end up with two top 10 picks in this year's draft? So I talked about this on the Wednesday show. If you didn't listen to it, they were very specific. The Raiders only wanted to trade with teams that they thought would be picking in the top 10. That's why they didn't trade Khalil Mack to the Packers, the Rams, the Jets teams. They wanted to keep him out of the AFC as well. So that's definitely, I think the odds of them picking in the top 10, they don't expect it to happen on their side of it. I think Vegas odds put them at about 18 right now. The Bears would actually be picking 10th right now if you went by Vegas odds for wins. So there's a good chance of it.
I think they're picking in the top 10 twice. I was not sold on the Raiders, even with Khalil Mack. And I'm also not sold on the Browns or the Bears with him. I don't think a pass rusher makes that much of a difference, and I just don't see them making that big of a leap.
I think you're on drugs.
They have to play Green Bay twice, correct?
Yeah.
Minnesota twice.
I think they're overrated.
I think you're wrong, and I think you're on drugs. They've got a great defense against Mitch Trubisky, who's just not proven. He could have like a Jared Goff second year and
he could
blow up, or he could shit the bed and be out of the league and by next year.
Yeah, I think they'll be good. It is our division. I don't think they'll be top 10 bad. I mean,
I think the Bears will be like in the 10 area, like 8-12.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
And I think the Raiders might be the worst team in the league.
The Bills are
pretty bad. But if they can't protect Derek Carr, they're old as shit.
They're the oldest roster in the NFL, and they're the oldest roster the NFL's seen in like 8 years.
And all they have is Carr.
It's like John Gruden signed guys who were good the last time he coached.
Exactly. Like, oh, I remember scouting that guy when I left.
Yeah, Jordy Nelson, that dude can play. No, he can't. I'll tell you about this guy, man. That Jordy Nelson can get open. Okay, we got a couple of questions that came in on Instagram, which means I have to go to my phone and scroll through all these pictures of me and you.
That's
best friends that anyone could have. Okay, so question from our buddy Mitch J. McD on Instagram. He rewatched the Ohio State versus Oregon State game and noticed how big Michael Jordan was. Was wondering if height and size matters for a center. He might be one of the bigger centers I can remember. Obviously, we've only seen him play one game at that spot, but what do you think? He's more of a natural guard in his future. I do know for some teams, depending on the height of your quarterback, you do worry about height for the center and for interior linemen, but I think you can look at guys like Mitch Morris, several other centers as well who've been drafted recently that are at that 6'5 level. So I don't worry about it too much, especially, depending on your team. You know, if you have a 6'4", 6'5" guy back there, it doesn't matter. If you have Russell Wilson, a little different.
Yeah. Well, I think Michael Jordan's going to come in at around 6'7". He is a very tall guy to play center. I do think
I thought he was 6'6".
That's what LeBron thought.
Different Michael Jordan.
Right. Yeah. How tall is Michael B. Jordan?
Ooh. Probably like 5'10".
6'1"?
I don't know.
You should Google that.
I love that he's going to fight Drago, son. Never saw that one coming.
Yeah. 10 years ago.
Yeah. Like, ooh, you know what worked? Ending the Cold War. He's 6 foot tall. We split the middle.
Oh, there you go. I love
it when that happens. Can't even fight.
So back to the original Michael Jordan.
6'7" might be a little tall for a center.
And he's played so well at guard before.
Yeah, you just have to be able to get leverage under nose tackles. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine you're playing and you got 5'10 Puna Ford opposite you. How do you leverage if you're 6'7"? You can't. So that's where the issue comes in. It's not always our quarterback's 5'10". He can't get the ball over us. It's more about leverage, especially in the run game.
Yeah, that's not really a negative thing. I think he's a pretty good guard prospect. Maybe even could play some tackle.
Yeah.
I don't think he stays at center, but that's not even really a knock on him because I think he's going to be successful and be like a mid-round pick somewhere
else. Yeah, I think so. Two more questions. This one came in from Instagram as well. Jackson Fields wants to know. There's a whole intro here. He said, Matt, huge fan of the podcast. Thank you very much. Stick to football has given me the idea to start my own. I'm a freshman at South Carolina and been getting involved in student media, but don't want to do a podcast through the school because I won't have the rights to do it when I graduate. Any tips or advice on how to get started? I know just the tip is over. So you may not see this, but keep up the great work. Ha, we did see it. So this is my advice, and I put this in here because we get questions like this a lot. You know, hey, how do I get started? I want to write. I want a podcast, whatever. Just do it.
Ooh, controversy.
Don't cut your swoosh out. As Colin Kaepernick would say, just do it.
I don't even know if I want to touch that one now.
That's okay.
Okay.
Well. I diss the economy and coal mines and the Rust Belt and our asterisk of a president. So you're safe. You can do it.
I think you are correct on most of what you said just then. But you do have to just get started. You can't sit around and wait. Just get started doing something, or you're just going to spend the next week saying, oh, man, I should start a podcast.
You know, there's this fake like Warren Buffett quotes and stuff that go around all the time. And it's like, oh, this and this and this, Warren Buffett. And it's like they're not actually, but you kind of think they are. So I think people who make excuses are never successful. Like, oh, we won't have the rights when we graduate. And like, who cares, man? Just start a podcast.
I spent the last 30 seconds thinking of Jimmy Buffett.
What is Margarita?
And I was like, what quotes does Jimmy Buffett have? It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Like, how's that apply to a podcast?
It does. Okay.
All right. Now I'm with you now. The billionaire Warren Buffett. Buffett.
Yeah. Not Warren Beatty. Different guy.
Also different
Warren Buffett. Yeah. I just say just start. Don't worry about, oh, what if this blows up? And then, like, don't try to get West Virginia. Who cares? Make it yours.
Cross that bridge when you get there.
Yeah.
That's what I always say.
One of my favorite quotes, and Mello will back me up on this, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Agreed.
I pretty much live by that creed. Okay. Last question from Mason Whitlock, one of our good buddies on the show. What happens with Le'Veon Bell? Does he play eventually, sit out, or is he traded?
With the way the offensive line is reacting to him, I don't know that he can come back to Pittsburgh.
I have a problem with that, by the way.
Let's hear it.
You do not talk about another man's money. That is an unwritten rule in locker rooms. You don't do that shit. Also, are they not part of a union? Everything that happens with his deal helps them collectively. It also benefits every running back in the NFL. It benefits every running back in college. It probably benefits guys in high school. So don't come out there and be like, you make 7 times what I make. Yeah, because you're Ramon Foster. You're not good at football. Be good at your position and make some money. Like, don't make it about money. He is sacrificing his body for a team that made no effort to sign him through OTAs. They made no effort to sign him last year when they did this shit with the franchise tag. He is arguably the best running back in football, definitely a top 2 or 3 at his position, and they don't want to pay him. They want to string him along with no guarantees against injury. I'm with him. I wouldn't play either. Fuck that shit.
And I don't think he will play. And this is what you run into with the NFL, which is why I'm glad we're hopping to college football.
Yes.
Where players don't hold out. They'll just transfer at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But this is a job for them. So they have to do what's best for them. Even though everybody as a fan, you always hear, oh, this is a team or a family. We do everything for a team.
No, you're not. You're an employee.
Not when you get to the NFL. Things change. You have to look out for number one. And that's what he's trying to do. He wants to get his big contract. But at the same time, it's this big team sport that you've been preached to.
Here's what fucking pisses me off about fans is they're always like, oh, I love my team. But you only care about these players if they go along with what the ownership is asking them to do. You don't give a shit about this guy as a person who has zero guarantees against injury. If he goes out and plays week one and blows his ACL, he is a free agent at the end of this year. No money is guaranteed to him. And they're also lowballing him. They're not offering him money as the number one back in football. Mm-hmm. Like, no, they're trying to come in and say, like, oh, well, you've held out and you've been suspended. And is he good or not?
He is
pay
good.
The man.
Yeah, and they could probably front load that contract somehow. Like, I don't know.
There are offsets.
What
so that if he
is,
does get in trouble, you can get your money back.
Right exactly. There. But if you think you're a Super Bowl contending team, you got to get this guy on the field.
Yeah.
Like, one of the last 3 years, you should have gotten a deal done. If they would have just done it the first year, he'd be all set right now. He'd probably have 2 years left on his deal. And then you could just get rid of him.
And I don't want to see any accountants in my mentions being like, well, he makes so many millions of dollars a year. Do you know how much he is worth to the Pittsburgh Steelers in the NFL? The players don't even get their 50% that they're supposed to get, by the way. Like,
I don't even know what that means.
It's collectively bargained to where there should be a revenue share. The players should theoretically get 50% of NFL income. They don't. They're going to hold out. And I'm going to be... apparently, I'm fired up about it.
You are very fired up about it.
I just hate it, man. Like, you do your job, you still paid for it. I'm not. I'm a big union fan. Wow. That's the problem. Thanks, JFK. All right, that's our show for the week. Stick around. Every Thursday night after the show, we're going to hop on Instagram Live from our new haunted office. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to answer more questions there. It's just like Stitch Football Plus.
Which you've probably seen before because this is Friday for you and Thursday for us. So hopefully you joined us last night.
I'm so bad at that.
When we went on Instagram Live,
it's like
and you enjoyed
the future.
It. So you can check it out again when we do it next week. If it works, if we get a lot of viewers, it's something we will continue to do. I know that TR and CR are going to do something on Tuesday nights. They even had a catchy name for it.
Happy Hour.
Happy Hour. That's a good one. Like that's, I like it.
Yeah.
Might steal it.
It should be Walker Texas Rogers.
Yes. That's what it should be. And they make a Texas Longhorns podcast.
No, they have to wear cowboy hats.
We need to message them about that.
Yeah, do it right now.
We're missing some good content.
Yeah, we really are. These are great opportunities. Definitely make sure you guys, you're getting 3 shows a week, 2 Instagram shows a week. Make sure you have subscribed to the podcast on Apple Podcast. We're on Spotify now, by the way. Holy shit. That's pretty
cool.
Big
I have
news.
That out.
That's big news. We're on Spotify now. You can also get it in the Bleacher Report app where you can get updates on all the dumb stuff that we're doing. Also, all the cool stuff. Make sure next weekend you come out and see us in Austin, Texas. If you're anywhere close to there, we'd love to see you. We are going to have some Stitch Football stuff to give away as well.